happier when it's just the three of us and you do that dance at my face. I don't know why.
Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. As you can tell, we're getting a little silly in the morning. A little giddy backstage here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Since the boys are on vacation, we're being ridiculous. Having a good time, though, I think.
A little punchy. Yeah.
A little punchy.
Yeah.
Is it a Wednesday? Is it just Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. The boys are on vacation, as I mentioned. But me, Ralph Garman, and Ally McKay, and, of course, Chip the Wonder Monkey, we're all still here doing live showbiz beats. We'll also be talking what's good later on in the show. We'll be taking your phone calls. And I got plenty of cool stuff to give away if you're a Star Trek fan, especially. We've got tickets for this new Star Trek event at the Hollywood Bowl. It's Star Trek in Concert, where they play the J.J. Abrams Star Trek film from 2009, and they will have a live symphony orchestra playing the score. And then we have tickets for an advanced screening of the new Star Trek Beyond film as well, with a chance to see the movie in San Diego at its premiere outdoors during Comic-Con. So a lot of cool stuff going on in today's show. Stick around. Meanwhile, we'll take a look at the show business news. Is Taylor Swift using Tom Hiddleston to launch her movie career? Well, obviously.
Yes.
Like Bond girl type of thing?
Well, see? Rumor is he's going to be the next Bond, right?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't she love just to slide into that Bond girl slot?
Wow.
While he's doing the same.
Wow.
In his trailer. This theory coming, by the way, from Calvin Harris, according to TMZ.com.
Oh, my.
He thinks she could be angling for a sweet gig in the upcoming Bond movie. Apparently, he's butthurt because she has already met Tom Hiddleston's mother in England.
Hmm.
And his folks also, he's British, live across the pond as well. But she always insisted it was too far away to travel to meet them. So, brand new boyfriend, boom.
Oh.
Flying across the pond to England to meet the parents. But hey, what about my folks?
That's got to sting a little bit.
Bitch got no class.
Right? Insiders claim that Calvin now feels he dodged a bullet by getting out of the relationship with
Just
Jennifer.
Now?
Well, obviously.
Just now.
That's obvious.
Oh. It is all very interesting timing. If you were going to, you know, think, something's a little off. Everything is odd about this.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But they're young.
Nicolas Cage, you know, he's parting ways with his longtime wife, Alice Kim. But he is back on the single scene. He was spotted taking a woman out for sushi last Friday, where he got very cozy with the girl in the restaurant. And then brought that very same lady to a Carrot Top show the following night. So this is love.
Oh, wow.
This is true love. If you take a woman to a Carrot Top show, that means you're getting serious.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Prop comedy means love.
It's the next step, for sure.
I feel bad for Kal-El Cage that his parents are breaking up.
Is that
his son? His son. He named his son Kal-El after, of course, the Kryptonian who was sent to our planet, who later became Superman.
Sure.
So he named his son Kal-El.
It's not a lot of pressure for a kid.
No. You're named after Superman. You better live up to it. You know, I guess I'm not the only one who calls Joey Fatone Joey Fat One.
Oh.
Come on. That's funny.
No.
And apropos.
Come on.
Apparently, Joey himself gets the joke. He has opened a new restaurant in Orlando, Florida, which is a combination hot dog and Italian water ice shop.
You are only doing the story to say water ice.
Water ice. Hot dogs and water ice.
Come on. And you make fun of the Boston accent.
And the shop
that
is called
horrible.
The shop is called Fat Ones. Oh. Fat Ones.
Oh, Joey.
Hey, fatty. You are fat!
He says he can't wait to bring a piece of his childhood in Brooklyn to the Sunshine State. I guess there's a lot of former New Yorkers in Florida, right? A lot of people retired down there.
Yeah, are you kidding?
So it's probably a smart move on his part. But
sure.
But speaking of restaurants, this is some B mother loving S. On the 4th of July, in Times Square, they are opening a new restaurant. It'll be an all-day Cereal Cafe, mm-hmm. run by Kellogg's.
Sure.
Kellogg's is opening an all-day cereal cafe at Broadway and 49th off Times Square. You will be able to go in there and get a bowl of cereal anytime, day or night.
Well, you can't do that at home.
Right?
So that makes sense.
They're charging up to $7.50 for a bowl of cereal. Are you kidding me? What's a box of cereal cost? $3?
Yeah.
$4?
If that.
But this is special cereal mm-hmm. because the cereals will come dressed up in various fruits. And you can top off your cereal with yogurt or soft serve ice cream.
Mmm.
One of the main features of the new cereal menu is the Fruit Loop Sundae, which contains Fruit Loops, lime zest, marshmallows, and passion fruit jam made with blue marble ice cream. For the low price of $9.50, you can get that.
That doesn't even sound good, what you just said.
Kevin would never leave this restaurant.
Nope. No, he'd set up shop in the back, for sure.
He would pitch a tent.
What? He's that excited?
And then he'd put up some sort of little enclosure for himself to sleep in there as well. But, yeah, so I heard cereals, by the way, going by the wayside. People
yes.
not buying.
Remember we read that study that because millennials find it too much to get the bowl
that's
out.
Right, it's a lot of work.
Pour the milk, eat it.
Maybe that's why they
away.
Need a cereal cafe so that people can have their cereals prepared for them
that's
so they don't
right.
they don't have to go through the arduous task of
yeah.
pouring the cereal out of the box, then
so
lifting
exhausting.
A milk, tipping the milk.
Ugh.
Picking up a spoon.
Can you imagine?
Ugh.
And then having to rinse it out
I can't
after.
Even.
I'm tired just thinking about it.
Totes.
Right?
I'm totes exhaust.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gary Busey. When is Donald Trump going to announce that Gary Busey is his vice presidential running mate?
That might change things.
Trump Busey 2016. Get all the votes. Nicole Scherzinger from Pussycat Dolls, she's 38 years old today. Colin Jost, or is it Yost? From SNL, who does the news update on his desk there. That's called Jost.
Jost.
He's 34. Oh, Dave. You know Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico. He makes up these birthday lists for me mm-hmm. every day. We have Adam G. Savani's birthday we're celebrating today. Adam G. Savani, anyone?
I assume he's in Step Up.
You're a clairvoyant.
Well, he's either a Clipper or he's in Step Up.
He's Moose from the Step Up films.
He's
24 years old.
Oh.
But the reason we celebrate the day, of course, today, Wednesday, June 29th, it's Colin Hayes' birthday, singer from Men at Work. Doesn't this make you want to just pick up a didgeridoo and a boomerang and a Vegemite sandwich?
Mm-hmm. What?
So he gets it?
That's not Chip.
He's the singer for that
My
band.
My God! Give me a Vegemite sandwich.
Can we hear him sing some of that song?
Nope.
Is that
all you have?
We hear the guy playing the flute sitting in the tree? What about Colin Hay, who sings the song?
You ruined his birthday, Chip.
Like I do.
You won't even let him sing?
No.
Is that all that's on there?
Yeah.
That's the worst clip
That's
ever.
Not a good clip.
I think it was pretty good.
Jeez.
6 foot tall and full of muscles.
He said, oh.
Oh. Apologies. We're going to be better. We'll be better in the next.
Okay, there we go.
Next hour. We'll be better. I promise. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Today is the day that our friend Jensen Karp's book comes out. Kanye West owes me $300 and other true stories from a white rapper who almost made it big. He, of course, is our hip-hop correspondent and our longtime friend of the Kevin Amico, Jensen Karp.
Hello.
Studio. How are you,
I'm
best-selling
also
author?
Thank you. I'm also the beef correspondent.
Correct.
Just
yes. Right?
Making
you are.
Sure that
yes.
that's in there.
You're the correspondent for everything we don't understand.
That's true. If there's anything foreign to you, right. I come in and I explain it mostly from the urban culture.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jensen, it's a hilarious book. We've read it and we recommend it. I hope everybody will immediately go to Amazon and buy Jensen's book today or buy it at a bookstore or whatever. It's really, really – I mean, it's perfect for our audience because you tell a story that, you know, is hilarious but intersects with so many people that we admire and that we've, you know, read about and heard about. It's a crazy life. Why did you decide now, so many years after your spectacular flame out and failure in the rap business –
Thank you.
To write write the book?
Here's the thing. I was 19 years old. I signed a $1 million record deal with Interscope Records. I look like if J.J. Abrams was like, I want to look more Jewish. I don't know why. I don't know why he would say that. But if he did, that's what I look like. But yet, I was an insane battle rapper. I destroyed. It was what I did for 10 years.
You loved it.
Loved it.
Looked, searched.
My passion.
It.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And so I went and got this record deal at Interscope and recorded with Will.i.am and DJ Quick and Redman and Fabolous and Maya and a very young Kanye West. And having that happen and then not have the record come out, which is what the book is about, this sort of weird journey, kind of like Forrest Gump-esque experience I had in hip-hop. It hurts, and when you're a kid, it's so painful. And now that I'm 36, I knew that I had to face it. This is something I had to tell a story. I had to explain, and no one really knows I did it. And this is the first time to tell.
Let's go earlier.
Yes.
Let's go before 19.
Yes.
Let's go third grade talent show.
I did "You Be Illin" by Run DMC.
And
I grew up in Woodland Hills, which next door to Calabasas, which other than being the Satan home of the Kardashians, it is also called Cala Blacklist. It's so white bread.
Right.
And so me doing "You Be Illin" in third grade, a teacher actually walked up to my mother and was like, what is this?
Now, let me ask you this question. Did you think that was going to go over well and everybody was going to go crazy? Or did you sort of know
this is
the wrong audience?
No, I listened to hip-hop all day in my room. I watched Yom TV Raps.
So you thought you were going to kill?
Yes. Okay. I was like, I love it. Everyone should love it. I was like, this is what's hot in the streets. Little did I know, I'm not anywhere near the streets. I'm near a Gelson's, and this is not what I need.
Did you also write a song called Killing at the Playground?
Well, that's the thing. So then I get into rapping myself, and I'm wearing cross colors, which you'll see in the book. I became very engulfed in hip-hop culture, but yet still being pretty understandable that it is not reappropriating. I was pretty good about being a little pitchfork critic, even at like 12. And so I went and had a rap group with a kid named Ricky I grew up with called Extra Large, and at a bar mitzvah, of all places, where every rapper should be found.
That's where the best rap is.
Yeah, you guys know that's where Fabolous was found, at a bar mitzvah also. And so I was rapping at a bar mitzvah, mimicking the words, and a guy came up with a microphone and was like, if I give you this, will you rap? And I was like, yes, because I didn't understand how not to get bullied. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I rapped. And then he was like, listen, I know Ice-T and the Rhyme Syndicate, this group, you know, obviously huge back in the day.
Right.
Will you open for them in Hollywood? And just like that, I was a 12-year-old rapper opening for Ice-T, and then that turned into me being managed by the Rhyme Syndicate and Donald
That's
D at 12.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm like a Zelig. I'm like a strange
you really
thing in hip-hop.
Are.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people in this city will remember the Bacup Boys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On Power 106.
Nick and Eric. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Jensen, how long did you rule that world?
Yeah, so I was on the Bacup Boys show for something called The Roll Call. I just entered. I just called. I was in college.
Just out of the blue.
Just out of the blue. Called because I thought it would be funny. And it's a battle show where basically you battle against three other callers a day. And that's it. And most kids, you know, they're like 13 years old and their voice is trembling. I called as a grown man and I was just destroying children's lives every day.
Does that make you better or worse?
Oh, no. I'm like the Billy Madison swatting the ball away.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like saying you could win at stickball on a kindergarten playground.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm the best player in your little league at 36. And
so how long did you rule?
The highest one before me. They had 10 consecutive wins. I won 43, and that was where I got my big break.
How much of it was Eminem's success coming on as a white rapper? How much did that play a part in you believing that you didn't get your fair due?
Well, a lot of reasons. I mean, I record this album. They spend, you know, $800,000 getting every famous person into a room with me. And I record an album. And there's very little situations where they don't even put out one song. That's very weird, especially in 2000s music industry.
Especially after they put out that kind of dough.
Yeah. And I'm also on a song with Redman and Fabolous. I'm only on one verse. Like, even if you hate me, the other two dudes are huge. Like, just put it out and feel it. And so it was very strange, and I'm a very interesting industry story as to why that happened. It's a tax write-off that makes almost no sense for Jimmy, Iovine, and the rest of Interscope. And so a lot of theories have come up, and a lot of people believe, and it makes sense. At 36, I hear, and it makes sense, is that if you're making so much money, because I came up at the same time as Eminem, mm-hmm. it's bad timing. And if you have that cash cow at your label, why push it? And why, you know, like Bubba Sparks went through the same problem as I did. He put out a great record called Deliverance that got kind of canned.
So no other rapper could have gone up against the time when Eminem was destroyed.
It would seem difficult to do it from the same house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would seem hard. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when you say that, it has nothing to do with Eminem, right?
I don't think he pressed a red button, no. I think it's just one of those industry stories, man. Like, they wouldn't have spent that much money to shelf me if they knew in advance. That would be a very weird roundabout way of ruining my life. I mean, it was a strange story, and that's what the book is about, is me, you know, I recorded a song with Maya. I wrote a song with Cisco, and I stole porn from his house.
That's a great chapter, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And then, you know, there's these weird stories. Will.i.am and I wrote a film together. Very weird things happened to me, and it's all in the book. And I owe and Kanye owes me money.
Well, we're going to hear about that when we take a break and come back. Jensen Karp is our guest. The book is called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big. All right, quick break. Jensen is here. We'll be right back with more. The book, again, is available on Amazon.com right now. Jensen Karp, J-E-N-S-E-N-K-A-R-P. More in a moment on K-Rock. After Vanilla Ice, but before Eminem, there was Hot Carl, the Jewish kid from the L.A. suburbs who became a rap-battling legend, then almost became a star. That's our friend Jensen Karp in studio with us right now. The book is called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big. He's this guy.
36 years old and still rapping, and that's important. Because there really aren't that many words that I could rhyme with mortgage. My book drops in the first week of June, but you could pre-order it to make sure it arrives soon. To hear the story about how I went from average nerd to the greatest white rapper that you probably never heard. To stories about Tyrese and Cisco that are absurd. And Kanye owes me $300 and that's my word. So go to your local bookstore on the day that it drops. And get excited like Jared Fogle when he's watching Sandlot. And get excited because you're about to read how I was once on top of the rap game. Then I abruptly stopped.
Yeah!
I love it.
I'm not rapping to children. I don't want people to think that. Just doing that Jared Fogle line in front of a bunch of children. Yeah, that was like the first time I've done like a long form verse in like 10 years. And it was for the book promo, yeah.
We got to talk about Kanye here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of yours, Jensen, and I have seen numerous appearances you've made in the publicity leading up to the book. And I'm so surprised how few people ask you why Kanye West owes you $300. Mention that,
which
but
is
also,
the name of the book.
Which is the name of the book. Mention that, but also let's talk about what Kanye was like back in the day when you knew him. A totally different dude than the dude he is today, right?
Totally different, yeah. With small glimpses into who you know now. But basically, I was a kid, and he was a kid, and I was given his Beat CD by my manager, and I fell in love with it. There was so much good stuff on it, all soul samples that I loved, and the song that eventually became H to the Izzo for Jay-Z was on there, and that was shockingly good. And so I was like, I want to meet this guy. And so we end up on the phone, and then we end up meeting in New York, and he's just very nerdy, man. I don't know how else to put it. He was like my very personal Bowfinger. Like, I showed up, and he was wearing like this big Aniche jumpsuit. He had adult braces, and he just was such a dweeb, and I liked it. It was very endearing. But there is no world where I can't believe that person is like having fashion shows. There's no one in the world and he was a producer. He wasn't a rapper. Like his managers wouldn't even really let him talk about being a rapper because it made sessions awkward.
Well, you write about in the book how he rapped a song and everybody when he left the room laughed at his abilities as a rapper.
Yeah, and I was there in Baseline when he would do that a lot, and so we would end up in a room with famous people because they're recording there or because they're working on my thing, and he'd hang out all the time just as a friend, and so he would go in and be like, "Yo, I want to play you this song," and then he'd play Jesus Walks. This wasn't a random song. He would play Jesus Walks, rap it, and he would, while it's on, he would stand up and mimic it, the same stuff he does now, very loud, and these people would just look at their two-way and keep like no one would even pay attention to him. He'd leave the room, everyone laugh, and then they'd look at someone else, be like, "Can we make sure that never happens again?"
What?
Like, and that would happen to Kanye West, like that, and I saw it with my own eyes, and so
that's crazy.
Yeah, and so people just weren't into it, and that's why you see this guy who sort of like works in this insecure space now, and he's so. He deserves to be there because of what he's went through, and I think he's not willing to hear anything else.
You guys saw Master and Commander together?
We did, the great Russell Crowe film. We sat and watched that together. I mean, we were, you know, we went to Mel's Drive-In and had a hot dog. Like, which is not a metaphor. That's not a sexual metaphor. That's an actual thing
we
did.
Too bad.
Yeah, well, I would have liked to share a hot dog also, if you know what I mean.
What was the point at which your roads veered apart never to meet again?
So he got in the accident here in Los Angeles in the car accident that leads to his jaw being wired shut and then sort of running into fame from there. And so I talked to him when he was in the hospital a little bit because it was sort of mutual friends he was with when he got in the accident. And then we texted when John Legend came out. We two-wayed, which is what you did in the 2000s if you were a rapper.
Sure.
If you were Fat Joe or Hot Carl, you just had a two-way. And so we talked once and then that's it, man. And there's never a moment where you think he's like ditching you because he's becoming famous. That's not what it is. There's just a moment where you go, I don't know what we talk about.
Yeah.
Like we talked about like what we, this is for reals. We would text each other to each other when we were at Blockbuster Video. Okay. So he would ask me what movie you want to rent, and I'd go, I don't know, I liked Ghost World. And then it would be silent for 2 hours, and then he'd two-way me and just go, I loved Ghost World. And I'm like, okay, Kanye.
If you wanted to get a hold of him today, no way.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's going to be pretty easy, I think. But I don't know about before today with the release of the book. But
now, the $300
in
the book.
Yeah.
You make it sound like he was aware he owed you the money
very much.
Volunteered to pay it back and wouldn't let you forget about it for some time. Hey, don't let me forget. I owe you that $300. Yet never did.
That's the only reason I remember it is because I rented a car for him. Basically, he was living with his mother, which is a story he tells all the time now. He would drive to New York to record and then get back, or he would take a train. We were working really late, and the train only goes till a certain time. So he looked at me. He's like, man, I got to go. And I was like, nah, I like hanging out with you, little Bowfinger. This is so fun. And so I was like, you got to hang out with me. And he was like, well, I got – and I was like, listen, I'll get you a car service. It'll just sit outside. And then when you want to leave, it'll take you home. And he was like, dude, that's so stupid. I was like, no, they gave me $1 million. Like, let me be done with this.
Right.
And he was like, well, I'm going to have to pay you back. And I was like, Kanye, I don't need the money. And he was like, I'm going to pay you back. He gets home. He makes sure he two-ways me. Thank you. I'll make sure I get the money. Comes up again. And then it's like, I'm at that point, I go, he owes me the $300.
Right.
Like, I didn't want it. Yeah, I didn't want it.
You didn't care.
Yeah. Now you're making it a big deal. I wanted to get the money. And so, and now years later, I feel like he'd be happy to know I'm okay. But he knows he owes me the money. He clearly knows it. You remember it, Kanye. I'm here. I want the money. Bring me the money. I would hope if people like the book or like me on any of these things, if you just hashtag Kanye West owes me 300, he's going to see it eventually.
Okay,
right?
Good idea.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah,
good idea.
Yeah.
All right, the book is out. It's available everywhere, Amazon.com. Thank you, Jensen.
Thank you, guys.
It is time for...
Thanks for that info, Bing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that we have time for this.
He has Asperger's and cannot tell if people are interested or not in what he's saying. We try to give him some feedback. We try to help. We try to make teachable moments.
Mm.
So during the songs, while you get to listen to music, we get to listen to Bean's thoughts.
Right.
Next time you're bitching about Red Hot Chili Peppers, think about what we're listening to, okay? It's not under the bridge. It's under the bean.
So I write down verbatim what Bean says. Now, the rules are don't respond to Bean when he says something out of the blue. Allie is very bad at that because
she's the worst.
It's
a ridiculous policy to ignore your coworkers when they're having conversation with you.
There's not a conversation. This is just a one-way, say something.
There could be a conversation if there was a little give and take. If I said something and then you said something, then now we're talking.
I'll give you a perfect example.
All right.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Guys. Hey, I watched a 90-minute documentary on the band Kansas yesterday. See, now, where do you think that's going to go?
That's a declaration.
Right.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to say to that? Oh, was it good?
That'd be fine. That'd be a great...
But I don't care about the band Kansas.
What did you learn about Kansas that you didn't already know?
What you learned. This is not a conversation.
Right. What was your favorite Kansas song? There's a lot of ways you can go with that.
Right, but we don't want to because it's a terrible conversation.
I'm saying that's a door opener and you're a door stopper.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
What's a door stopper?
Yeah, you know what I was thinking about? Which just begs. Oh, just Allie's just dying over there like, oh, I got to say something because it's so...
And Chip's waving me off.
That's the tiger pit. There's the leaves over the big pit, and then there's those spikes underneath on the bottom where you just fall right through.
He wants someone to answer.
Don't do it!
No, but
don't,
it's me.
Because it makes it so much worse for us.
I don't know.
You know what I was thinking about? Nothing. Lisa Marie Presley.
Here's the thing. No one says what? What were you thinking about? It doesn't matter.
Correct.
He just keeps going.
Lisa Marie Presley married both Nicolas Cage and Michael Jackson. Nothing. Because they're both weird guys. It would be weird to be married to one of them, let alone both. Nothing. Bean went. Taps the mic.
Look. A lot of times...
Chip played...
good for her.
A lot of times weird things happen and then they're forgotten about.
I think that's worth revisiting, the fact that happened. But here's the thing. We weren't having a conversation about weird relationships or...
Some people sure marry weirdos, don't they?
Hey, guys.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I'm having trouble not buying the new Elvis box set. Nothing. It has 60 CDs in it. Nothing. Is that too much, Elvis? Nothing. I'm going to take that as a no.
Thanks for Catch That Info Bee.
I'm looking for a little guidance on how I should spend my money, you guys. That's
all. We don't care what you buy.
Do I need 60 albums from Elvis?
That's a decision only you can make.
Sometimes
you and your pastor.
Sometimes he points it directly at somebody who he thinks will care. Hey, Dave the King of Mexico.
See?
I do not approve of Taylor Swift's hair on the cover of Vogue.
Oh.
Dave mumbled something and then Bean said, I love her. Look.
That's that info bee.
It's not out of the realm
of info bee.
Of normal
that info bee.
Office communication.
That info bee.
I'll just sit down here.
You Thank have you. His phone number, don't you? You have Dave's phone number, right?
Well, yeah, but this is workplace chatter about things that are in the news.
Not work or place or chatter.
Okay, here's a good one. This is gold. Guys, what's your excitement level for peanut butter on celery?
Thanks for that info, B.
And I'm sorry for adding to that.
What?
Allie, yes, of course. Allie responded. Is it smooth or chunky? I don't remember what
I
she said.
I responded, are there raisins?
Oh, God.
And Bean said,
you.
No raisins.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it went on. I think it's a delicious snack.
Info bean.
And I just wondered if it's something that you guys also enjoyed. That's all. That's reasonable.
Hey, I listened to the REO Speedwagon Christmas album over the weekend.
Nothing.
It was good.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Thanks for that info, bean.
And the last one. There's a way of burning people. You're doing something that they really, really wish they were doing.
Right.
So
if you're at Coachella this weekend and you call your friends that aren't, you win. That's a burn.
You go, oh, I can't hear you. I'm watching Guns N' Roses at Coachella. That's a burn if they would want to be there watching.
Sure.
But it has to be a universal. It has to be something that they want to do.
Absolutely.
Like for me, Bean could say, I'm listening to new Rage Against the Machine music. I'm a huge fan. I didn't know they had new music. Yeah. That would kill me.
Right.
I'm enjoying a big bowl of mac and cheese right now.
Right.
Then you'd be char-broiled.
So here's Bean's version of that burn. He starts off by saying, I can't hear you. I'm looking at pictures of Lawrence Welk on the cover of TV Guide.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Which burns who?
I'm not sure. I can't hear you just because I'm looking at a magazine.
Does that burn the Lennon sisters?
Oh,
I'm
love
looking
them.
At pictures of Lawrence Welk on the cover of TV Guide. Is his burn?
Sharp royal.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Good morning, boys and girls, men, women. Children of all ages. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock at 6:53 in the morning. Kevin and Bean are taking a little time. However, it's me, Ralph, and Allie McKay and Chip the Wonder Monkey. We're all still here doing live showbiz beats each and every hour. And after the top of the hour, coming up a little after 7 o'clock, we'd love to hear from you as well in a segment we call What's Good, which is your opportunity to participate in the show. Why listen to the show when you become part of the show? What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What do you want to talk about?
What's the how come?
Right.
Exactly.
More importantly, what's the how come?
It's true.
So if you got something you want to talk about, something in the news, perhaps something interesting in your own life, keep us company. Call us in at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. We'll be taking your calls for What's Good right after the top of the hour. In the meanwhile, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Thanks for that info, Bean. Bean was talking about Lisa Marie Presley and how she was married both to Michael Jackson and Nicolas Cage. She was also married to Danny Keough, and for the past 10 years has been married to Michael Lockwood. Well, she's calling her trusty divorce attorney once again because she has filed for divorce from her fourth husband after 10 years. Four.
It's four more than me.
Yes.
But I feel like maybe
Who's
marriage
better
isn't,
off?
Marriage isn't for you.
Yeah, if you're going four times.
Yeah.
Apparently they split back on June 13th. Irreconcilable differences, as always, are to blame. She's requesting full custody of their 7-year-old twin girls, Finley and Harper. And I don't know. Michael Lockwood. If you can marry someone after she's been married to Michael Jackson and Nicolas Cage, you're a braver man than I am. I would think that'd be like,
I know. I love you and all, but come on.
Would you
weird.
Make that face, too?
Okay. You're making that face. Weird. Lisa Marie Presley's dad was a gentleman named Elvis Presley. I don't know if you're familiar with his work or not. But we lost a rock and roll pioneer yesterday. A gentleman named Scotty Moore. You may not know the name, but he was one of the most famous and influential rock and roll guitarists in rock history. He was the lead guitar on all of Elvis Presley's early hits, especially for Sun Records. He passed away at the age of 84. He had a crisp, rocking lead guitar sound that helped Elvis explode on the music scene and then was sort of copied by every other rock and roll artist throughout the 50s and 60s. He was a big part of Elvis Presley's success. Went to Elvis when Elvis moved to the record label RCA and kept playing with him and played on all of his early hits. Was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000. If you ever heard the classic sort of 50s rock and roll guitar, it's all based on the work of Scotty Moore. Here's a little of his work with Elvis in a song called Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Rock it!
Makes me think of Marty McFly at the
sure.
At the what's that party under the sea? What the hell do they call that? That dance he's at the end of Back to the Future. Come on,
the prom.
It's not a prom. It's a
prom
dance.
Show.
What's that?
Enchantment under the sea.
Thank you so much for your mug. Sorry to hear about your walk to death row.
I guess
they're going to be putting you in the electric chair again. Why do you keep getting your hair cut like you're going to the electric chair?
Because it's awesome.
It's not awesome. It's less than awesome.
You'd be better off just shaving your head instead of that one little tuft of hair on the top of your head.
No, I'll be bald if I do that.
Looks like that's where they put the sponge. They put the wet sponge, and then they put the cap on your head, and then it's the Green Mile, and then then the lights dim.
All the kids are doing it.
No, not all the kids are doing it. Anyone who's doing it is now dead. Because they were electrocuted.
Rest in peace, Muggs.
Dead man walking.
He's a sweet spirit.
Yes, but he did get that right. Enchantment Under the Sea was the name of the thing I was looking for. And while we're talking Under the Sea, Shark Week, right?
Right?
Yes.
How's that for a segue, by the way?
Boom.
Shark Week!
Good.
You watching the Shark Week?
Yes.
Discovery? Oh, it's the best. Shark Week announced this week that they've discovered that certain great white sharks can glide for miles under the water without moving their bodies at all.
What?
It's a phenomenon.
Are they asleep?
No, they're just cruising. They are showing no effort whatsoever, and they just cruise through the day. Much like our producer, Dave the King of Mexico.
Right. Very little effort.
He's still sleeping.
or is he? We can't tell.
No, he just logged in. He's probably here.
Oh, he's here. Okay. Yeah, so it's sort of a phenomenon that people were unaware of until this week on Shark Week. It's pretty cool.
Did you see the one earlier this week where the hammerhead sharks will hunt in, 2 feet of water?
Yes.
Awesome.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
By the way, these great white sharks are now famous for doing nothing, so they've been nicknamed the Kardashian shark.
Oh, Ralph, you're so funny.
Why don't you give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk about what's good. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about?
You know what I'm thinking about?
What are you thinking about? Ghosts?
I'm thinking about, ghosts.
Yeah. Allie was in a haunted house this past weekend, she claimed. We'll talk more about that next week, I'm sure.
It was pretty serious.
When the boys come back with it, they want to delve deep into that topic.
I'm thinking about those Pope brothers on Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. Folks, if you're not watching Animal Kingdom on TNT on Tuesday nights, you are missing out. It is a brilliant, brilliant show.
Really enjoying it.
It is the
ultimate butthole pucker show. Your butt just... Because it's so clenched the whole time you're watching.
It's constant anxiety because it's about a family of criminals that are just the worst people. And this young kid who is introduced in them, his mom passes away, so he goes to live with his grandmother, is the head of a crime family. She's got four sons and now a fifth with this kid who joins up with them. And they're just horrifying people, terrifying.
And hot.
They're not hot.
They're super hot. Every single one of those Pope brothers is hot.
Greasy, long-haired.
Oh, they are so hot.
Criminal scum.
So hot.
Except for Sean Hattissey. He's got short hair, but he's the most terrifying of them all.
He's a creep beyond measure.
He's a lunatic.
Still hot.
Ellen Barkin plays the mother of the family, and it's just, It's disturbing on every level, based on an Australian film of the same name, but this takes place in Oceanside, California, and it's just riveting. There's been 4 episodes, I think, so far in its first season, so you can catch up, I think, on demand, and I would recommend it because it's really a great show. So there you go. Here's Allie kicking us off with what's good. Thank you, Allie.
Yeah, so feel free to call in right now.
What's the number?
1-800-520-1067.
There you go.
For what's good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Colin Jost. Whatever. He's the guy on Saturday Night Live who does that weekend update thing with varying degrees of success. And he's 34 years old. Nicole Scherzinger from Pussycat Dolls, 38 years old. Gary Busey, the legend, is 72 years old. And finally, we have a clip worthy of musical legend Colin Hay, lead singer from Men at Work.
Come on, Chip.
There we go.
Feels good.
A head full of zombie?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I met a strange
lady. Oh, what'd she do? She made me nervous. What'd she do? She took me in and gave me breakfast. Did she say anything? She said, do you come from a land Colin Hay is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Than I've ever been.
Shh. Wait for it. Let it go. Oh, love that piano at the end. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening at 7:06 in the morning on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Kevin and Bean are off doing God knows what to who knows what. But we'd like to hang out here with you here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Allie McKay, Chip the Wonder Monkey, and myself, Ralph Garman, keeping the show alive with a segment we like to call What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
What's good is the segment where we welcome you into our radio home. You're our guest, and we ask you, what are you thinking about? What do you care about? What are we not talking about that we should be? What's good? Let's start off with Gavin in Hancock Park, see what's on Gavin's mind. Gavin, what's good, sir?
Not much. First off, say you guys are the best.
Oh, you're very kind.
Second, have you heard anything about the Justice League news, Ralph?
Yeah, apparently Gavin's talking about the Justice League movie coming out from Warner Brothers with Ben Affleck, of course, returning as Batman, and Henry Cavill as Superman, and they're getting the whole gang together.
And they just talk about Deflategate.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there have been a lot of reports coming from the set. Apparently, Warner's is being very open with the set. They're inviting journalists down to watch them film and stuff. I guess they're trying to get as much good buzz as possible, and people seem to think that they're encouraged, Gavin. What are you hearing?
Huh.
Yeah. I heard one that it's kind of getting more comic booky. It's getting more light and humorous. Like, there's a couple scenes that they released to us, and Batman's kind of joking around a little more. And they hope that the Flash is going to be the, like, very funny guy of that movie franchise to kind of bring it up.
I think after the drubbing that Batman v Superman took from a lot of the fans and most of the critics, they are trying now to take a page out of Marvel's book and trying to make the films a little bit more joyful, a little bit more fun, a little bit more superhero action adventure, and a little less grim. So this might be the turning point for DC. Let's hope so, in my opinion.
Yeah. There's even a couple new Batman vehicles, which I think is kind of funny, too.
What's he got? I hadn't heard.
There's this kind of like, it's called the Nightcrawler. It's like this pod with multiple legs and climb up buildings. And
He's got a unicycle?
He's got the Bat unicycle.
With flamethrowers.
Yeah. That pogo stick. It's going to be a much lighter film. Looking forward to it.
Segway.
Hey, Gavin, thanks for calling in, man. Let's talk to Jennifer in Los Angeles. Hey, Jennifer, what's good?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. So I'm in the car, and I just heard about this awesome thing called the Zombie Apocalypse Training Camp up in Montana. I think it's called Balls Up or something.
It's called Balls Up?
I'm in.
I don't know.
I think that's a different event in Montana.
I don't even know if that was the name for it, but apparently they teach you and teach you how to survive in a zombie apocalypse. So I had to ask you guys, is that a good gift to give my husband? Am I a bad wife if I tell him, hey, babe, go learn how to save me from the zombies? Or am I a better wife if I join him, although I don't think I could stay in a tent for a few days? So,
Is he, like, into Walking Dead and the zombie stuff? Does he dig that?
Oh, my God. He's obsessed, and he's a total jerk. He'll make those zombie noises when I'm sleeping and waking up screaming. I hate him.
Well, it sounds like the perfect gift for him, and also a few good nights' sleep for you, because he won't be making zombie noises in your ear while you're sleeping.
Exactly.
Yeah, send him to that. Send him as a gift, and then have him call in when he's done. We'd love to hear all about it.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
Thanks, Jennifer. And lastly, we've got Scott in Long Beach. He's got something on his mind. Scott, what's good?
What's good is the fact that I just found out that I'm not the father.
You are not the father.
You are not.
What was the story? Did you think you were the father? And who are we talking about and what happened?
We're talking about my ex-girlfriend. She told me for 9 months I was the only one that it could have been. But the smart human being that I am, I took her to court. And paternity test said that I am not the father. 0.000 chance.
And had you gotten to know the child at all?
Oh, yeah. I spent months with the child. Changing diapers, changed work schedules around, everything.
Oh, Scott. That's... although I'm sure you're relieved to know everything, what a punch in the gut to you.
Well, I mean, it was a punch in the gut, but you want to know what? It got my butt in gear. I went to school. I'm in school, driving to school right now, so I kind of got a thanker, you know?
Nice.
So you took this opportunity to be a better man because you had a kid, and now you don't have really a kid. Are you going to go back to being sort of a loser again?
I don't think that's the right course, right? I don't think that's what he's saying, Ralph.
I feel like I'm just trying to figure out what the path
is. Life around, so now he'll be ready.
Yeah, but he was on that path
woman.
For a reason. Well, now the reason doesn't exist. I'd be like, whatever. I'm going to kick back and just go. No, I'm going to spark up a bowl and get back to the Xbox where I started.
I think he's doing the right thing.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Now, did you give a bunch of money and stuff, Scott?
No, she had to pay for half the paternity test, which is about $200.
No, but I mean like in support for the kid after the kid
was
born.
No, definitely not.
So what was her response when you said, look, you said I was the only one, but this proves that I wasn't the only one. What did she say to that?
I told her that I wish her the best of luck in any fashion. I went out drinking that night, and within 30 minutes I got nasty text messages from her saying that I was classless for telling the world that the kid wasn't mine.
Well, she was classless for lying to you about you being the only possible father as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're in a good place, Scott, so keep going to school.
But what a bummer that he didn't get to meet Maury. Like, that's true. Do this on his own. That kind of sucks.
Some TV time. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks, guys. What's good?
Alan, you see this article a couple of days ago? Huffington Post put it up on alternative sports.
I did. I saw extreme ironing and I was in.
Some people iron underwater. Clearly the goal there is not to get your clothes ready to wear if you're ironing underwater. But they iron hanging from cliffs. They iron while skiing. They iron on top of their cars.
I love it.
Extreme ironing is a thing.
Yeah.
And this article is pointing out that we always have these big conversations about what's going to make it into the Olympics. Are sports significant enough and popular enough and competitive enough to make it into the Olympics? This is way down the list of those sports. These are fringe sports, but some of them have been going on forever, like this wife-carrying competition. My whole life I see articles on this. This is the one in Finland where guys race with their wives on their backs. And it's a tradition in that country that's been going on for years. Chess boxing I've heard of, which is one of the most bizarre things in the world. You sit down and you play chess for a certain amount of time, and then you get up and you box, and then you sit down and you play more chess. Underwater hockey is a thing. Allie, as much as you love hockey, would you at all be interested in seeing underwater hockey?
I'd take a look.
It is also known as Octopush. This sport is played worldwide. It involves two teams trying to push a puck using a stick across the floor of a swimming pool into the opposing team's goal. It even has its own world championship. Underwater hockey has been around since 1980. There's toe wrestling. There's a sport called shin kicking. There's musical canine freestyle, which is one where, and I've seen this one too, this is one where you get up and you sing a song with your dog.
Come on.
There's a whole world of sports out there that go beyond football and baseball, and we wanted to find out more about it. We asked producer Dave, who can we talk to? The commissioner of alternative sports is Dr. Frederick McKinney, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, doctor, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are fine. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you so much for joining us. So alternative.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Really, it is. Because so many of the alternative sports, or as you say, weird sports, just aren't popular because not enough people know about them, don't you know?
Well, look, there was a time where, tennis was brand new.
Right.
Somebody had to invent that, and it took a while for it to get to the point where now it's just accepted, and maybe that's going to be the case with chess, boxing, and cheese rolling down the
road. That's how we like to feel here at the League of Alternative Sports, where we're constantly coming up with new and exciting games and competitions for people to engage in.
Well, this list from the Huffington Post has 10 of the alternative sports, but you're telling me there are far more even than go beyond this list?
Oh, my goodness, 10, yes, there's many more. And some are better known than others, of course, you know, like shin kicking's a huge popular sport. But what about some of the newer sports that people aren't aware of yet?
Okay.
Like, for instance, how about hurling curling?
Hurling curling?
Curling.
Yes, it's just like curling where you throw your stone down the ice to try to get it into the center of a circle.
Uh-huh.
But the opposing team puts their finger down their throat and vomits in front of the stone to try to slow it down.
That's disgusting.
Hurling curling.
I don't know why they would do that, but okay.
Well, it's a competition, you see.
Competition. Huh. All right. Yeah.
And it takes a lot of skill to be able to vomit with pinpoint accuracy.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, most people just blah all over the place. But a good hurler curler will be able to just, boom, put it right where he wants it.
Huh.
Okay, all right, that's good, Doctor.
Also, extreme nippling.
Nippling?
Yes. It's just like boxing, only you try to subdue your opponent simply by twisting his nipples. Just give him a purple nurple until he hits the ground or taps out.
Now, that game is very popular among five-year-olds, but you're saying even for adults, they're getting into that now.
Oh, adults are the best at extreme nippling. We don't even let kids. There's no little league for extreme nippling. It's
okay.
Just for the grown-ups. And
adults
we've got
are.
A brand-new champion, by the way. It's very exciting. He's one of the best nipplers I've ever seen. Brian Long Nips Cantrell is his name. And he's got, it's amazing, these giant pendulous nipples he's got from playing the sport over the years.
Well,
but he's really impressive.
It's like cauliflower ear for UFC fighters,
right.
I guess.
Yeah,
okay.
It's broccoli nipple, we call
okay.
it.
Okay, it's, all right.
Come watch a game and see the broccoli nipple. Also, a very popular sport in Asia is panda punt.
Oh,
I don't like the sound of that, Doctor.
Well, it's not what you think it is.
Oh,
good.
It involves kicking a panda as far as you can.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Oh, my bad. No. I'm sorry. I thought maybe you were confused.
I did think it would be punching, not kicking.
No, panda
so you are
punt,
right. It's not
punt,
what I thought.
Punt.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You kick a panda and you punt it.
Yeah.
Why did you think there'd be punching involved?
I thought
that
punch.
Would be a different sport called panda punch.
That
would be
punch.
Different, but panda punt is taking a panda.
Okay.
First of all, the hardest part is finding one because there aren't many around.
Right.
You gotta hunt yourself down a panda.
That's
and then it's the panda hunt and punt, really. And then you take the panda and then you just boot it with a work boot as far as you can.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Oh,
but
the
I
noise
agree with
they make is just tragic.
Oh, still, wow. Let's not have that sport continue, Doctor.
Every mill with ball.
Ball? No, I'm sorry, I'm not.
Yes, it's where two nude men enter a ring and hit each other in the testicles with an electric flashlight.
That's another terrible idea for a sport. You're right, Doc. I'm sure by now that you have seen the video of the guy peeing in the Kellogg's Rice Krispies.
Well, sure. Who hasn't?
That seems bad. For those of you that haven't, they had a plant where they make Rice Krispies, and there's a guy that's videotaping himself, and he's got a pretty good stream going.
Well,
he's pretty strong.
Yeah.
He's well hydrated.
He sure
that's a good sign.
And
I'm not concerned about
it. He needed to be less hydrated, so he's peed on pretty much all of the conveyor belts and stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that was a statement pee, though. He didn't just have to go. He was making a statement.
Oh.
So here's the setup for the local news in Memphis as the anchor is talking about the story, and then she tosses it out to the reporter.
Here in Memphis, on an assembly line at the Kellogg plant off of Airways. We must warn you, the video you're going to see is disturbing. WREG's Michael Quander is here after demanding answers from the company. Michael, what'd you find out?
All right, now I just want you to remember that he was demanding answers
sure.
from the company.
Listen to me, Kellogg's.
I'm not going to be turned away. I'm an investigative reporter. I want to know about P-Gate.
Instead of that, they show him, and he's standing in front of a TV screen. And he's holding a box of Rice Krispies.
He's approximately 5 feet away from the anchor that just talked
to him. Demanding nothing.
Yeah.
But he is showing us what a box of Rice Krispies
Thank
looks
God,
like.
Thank God, because I was confused. Rice Krispies? What's this Rice Krispies you speak of?
Well, Rice Krispies. Well, this is just one of the products affected by this video. And the man who you see here spraying urine all over the place, well, he's still out there on the streets.
In the man's
defense. Oh, my God.
In the man's defense, he wasn't spraying it all over the place. It was a very controlled stream.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
And secondly, he is out there on the streets.
He's out there on the streets.
Hide your
wife,
hide your kids. The pier is still loose.
Oh, no.
He could just come up to you at an intersection. Just pee
right
on
you.
Yeah.
Oh, why, this is terrifying, Memphis.
Why do TV reporters, why can't they resist the bad pun and the bad wordplay and all that kind of stuff? They love it.
Because they're so dead inside.
They love it so much. Listen to this.
Snap, crackle, pop. A company known for its sweet cereal is getting sour faces.
Yeah! Oh,
yeah.
Sweet
and sour!
Sweet cereal, sweet sour faces!
But sour faces! So now this guy, instead of insisting that Kellogg give him answers, takes his cell phone around and shows different people the video of the man peeing in the plant.
Yeah, he demanded answers from people who knew nothing about the story, just reacting to the video.
You're looking at a man recording himself as he urinated on the cereal assembly line at the Kellogg's plant in South Memphis.
Kellogg, this is our favorite choice of breakfast.
Families disgusted.
Pizza, this is our favorite choice of breakfast.
Allie, let me ask
that one. Let's play the game. Like, what are they saying? What are
I like it because there's a couple coming up that weren't anywhere near that clear.
No, we needed some closed captioning on some of these interviews.
Shout out, this is our favorite choice of breakfast.
Families disgusted.
I can't bleed his ass with a hat pin, man.
And in
I'm
shock.
Gonna bleed his ass with a hat pin?
What?
Is that what he said? I'm pretty
I don't
sure they're
think
gonna
so.
Say,
no.
I'm gonna bleed his ass with a hat pin.
I think he said, I can't believe this happened.
I don't know.
Let's try that again.
I can't bleed his ass with a hat pin, man.
I heard that, Ralph.
Shock.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bleed his ass with a hat pin,
what
man.
What goes on in Memphis?
I don't know.
That guy's a vigilante. He's gonna track down the Rice Krispie Pier, and he's gonna bleed his ass with a hat pin. That'll teach him. That guy's not peeing in anybody else's cereal.
That's for sure.
Oh, my God.
After the video surfaced online Friday.
I almost threw up.
All right, you got that one.
Dang near almost threw up.
Kellogg spokesperson says the company just found out about the video, although an internal investigation revealed it was shot in 2014.
So that's him demanding answers.
That was cruelty to the people because it caused illness.
What's so badly?
I'm sorry.
Right?
I'm sorry.
I agree with that gentleman.
I'm gonna need that
You agree
again.
With what?
With exactly what he said.
Which is?
I say I'm going to blame the side of Holmeston.
That was cruelty to the people because it can cause illness.
What's so?
Okay, I got
illness.
That is cruelty to the people because it can cause illness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Check I speak you Memphis. Out. How about that?
That was cruelty to the people because it can cause illness.
What some call a sickening act could have affected Rice Krispie treats, Rice Krispie cereal, and Puff Rice cakes. All products past their expiration dates by now.
It's serious.
That's serious. That's very serious.
Wow, you're getting good at this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I might have to move.
I didn't get any of that. Here we go.
It's serious
enough.
Why would he play that clip?
Because he wants people to know it's serious, Kevin. How will you know it's serious unless some random stranger at a gas station tells you it's serious?
I feel like you might form that opinion on your own.
And he does repeat it after the guy says it's serious. The reporter comes back and says, it's very serious.
For the feds to step in, the Food and Drug Administration is working to figure out who's the man behind the camera.
He's still on the streets, people.
He could be anyone. He could be your father.
Kellogg's wanting him prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
He was wrong and he should be penalized. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
He was wrong and he should be penalized?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The video was shot during the same time the company and workers' union fell out into a nasty labor dispute and those employees were locked down.
Yeah, everybody's striking. They've all out in the front.
Everybody was striking all out in the front.
Now Allie's getting good.
Yeah.
That they watch their employees a little better than what they watching.
They watch their employees a little better than they watching.
All right. Now, if you're Kellogg, what is your statement about public safety, about your products, and if people should fear them? What do you think they come up with?
They just shrug?
They come up.
What are you going to do?
They come up with, this was shot in 2014, so you already ate them.
Now, the company hasn't said how many products could have been sold to customers, but they want to stress that batch would have been expired by now and no longer on store shelves. Michael Quandre, WREG, News Channel
That's
3.
That's acceptable for
That's
them?
That's his wrap-up.
That's
like,
it?
You already ate it, guys.
So they're
back
all sold
you.
Out of yes. Rice Krispie yeah. Peas?
All of the Pea Krispies are gone.
Oh, no.
And are already eaten before we see this.
So they're collector's items. If you have a box of soggy Rice Krispies, put it on eBay because you can't get them anymore. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:53 in the morning. You're listening to KROQ FM 106.7. Thanks so much for tuning in. You know, just because Kevin and Bean are taking a little vacation time doesn't mean we can't give you stuff.
What?
I love giving out stuff. It's one of my favorite parts of the gig.
Really?
Yeah. Because people are happy when you give them stuff.
Usually, yeah.
Now, keep in mind, one person is happy. Everyone else who didn't get the thing hates
you.
Not
so much. Okay.
But I'm all about making people happy one at a time.
That's not what I heard.
How dare you, madam. And in this particular case, I'm talking about Star Trek Beyond. Yay! Brand new Star Trek movie, of course, from the rebooted franchise, thanks to J.J. Abrams. I can't believe it, but the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie was 2009.
Yeah.
Well, can't believe it's been that long.
A long time ago, but...
Anyway, the new movie, Star Trek Beyond, co-written, by the way, Simon Pegg. Was behind the screenplay of this film. I can't wait to see it. We're having an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond at the AMC Burbank on July 20th. Plus, if you win tickets, you will qualify to win a trip to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event. So this is a cool prize. I don't want to just give it away. I want to make people earn it. So here's what we're going to do. After the top of the hour, we're going to have a little contest. Here's the thing about Star Trek. I love Star Trek. Huge Star Trek fan my whole life. Mm-hmm. The thing about Star Trek is very definable characters and certainly actors. And probably the most definable, I think, of all of them is probably William Shatner in the role of Captain Kirk, right?
Sure.
So much so that almost everybody does a Kirk impression. It's true, because he's got a very distinctive way of talking and performing.
Yes.
William Shatner always talked like this. He was... taking his time to make his bones. Spock, we have to go down to the planet. Bones, I want you to join me. All right, Jim.
Fascinating, Captain.
So.
I want to watch the one-man show.
Everybody does Shatner. I was kirking off in the other room.
I'm sorry.
I was dropping.
Anyone had to say that.
I was kirking off.
You're dropping a kirk?
I was in the other room with
the
boys,
off for a kirk
fooling
kirk.
Around. Just having a kirk off.
Okay.
With some of the guys in the other room.
So like a circle kirk?
So what I thought would we do is have a little contest, have people call in with their best Shatner impressions, and whoever does the best Shatner wins the kirk off.
Okay.
And they will get the tickets.
I like it.
All right?
A kirk off.
We're going to have a kirk off. So if you do a William Shatner impression, like I said, everybody does, call in with your best Shatner, join the kirk off, won't you?
I'm glad it's not a shat off.
That would be worse. That's
so much worse.
No, it's a kirk off.
Okay.
We're going to be kirking off just after the top of the hour. So why don't you call us at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to kirk off with your other contestants and try to win the tickets.
I like it.
It's just that simple. Meanwhile, let's talk about show business news. As I mentioned, Scotty Moore passed away, legendary guitarist. With Sun Records, was the man behind Elvis Presley and all those hits that he had, passed away at the age of 84. So people were saddened by that. However, the good news is, especially for Gilmore Girls fans, Netflix is going to make all 7 seasons of that series available to subscribers as of July 1st. That's coming up. What's that, Saturday? July 1st?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's Friday. Friday, yeah. So this will get everybody ready for the revival of the series also on Netflix, Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life, which will air in 4 parts sometime later this fall. But in the meantime, now you can binge watch all 153 episodes of Gilmore Girls if you're a fan. So now you can get all that. Were you a Gilmore Girls fan?
Very much.
Yeah, it's a good show. Are you ready for Tetris the movie?
No.
Oh, come on. How can you not want to see a movie about... a video game that has falling blocks.
I think you just answered that.
Well, producer Larry Kazanoff told Empire Magazine that the upcoming film about the video game will be told in not one, but three movies. This will be a trilogy. He said this purely because the story we conceived is so big. So.
No.
No, thanks.
He says, by the way, we're not going to have blocks with feet running around the movie. But it's great that people think so. It sets the bar rather low. Actually, I'd be more interested to see a movie with blocks that had feet running around a movie than I would whatever this guy has planned, I'm sure. Three of them. And Minnie Driver has just started her own lifestyle line. You know, Martha Stewart kind of has her lifestyle line of things you could buy. You know.
Martha Stewart Home.
Right, all that stuff. That's what Minnie Driver's doing. She's launching a new line of home goods on the Home Shopping Network, HSN.
Driving it home.
Oh.
That'd be good.
No.
Put that in the file.
Not good.
It's a song?
Won't you, Chip? Sadly, yeah. Yes,
it
is.
Great.
I should have had it.
Feel free
you can
to
get
use it,
window hey. Treatments, bedding, throw pillows. This line has everything.
Okay.
Kicks off on July 5th, and so if you're a Minnie Driver fan, you can buy her stuff now. I didn't know this, but her mom was also in that line of work. After her divorce, she didn't really have any marketable skills, so she started making cushions, like an Etsy kind of thing, and kind of selling them to people.
Wow.
And she morphed that into a multi-million dollar company.
Wow. Good for her.
So Minnie Driver's got designing in her jeans.
Yeah.
I'd like to design her in her jeans. I don't even know what that means, but I just wanted to be filthy for a minute. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Colin Jost from SNL, 34 years old today. Nicole Scherzinger, she's 38. Colin Hay from Men at Work. That's not him.
Chip,
show some respect. There we go. I don't know what that means, Gumby. On a hippie trail, head full of zombies. On a hippie trail, head full of zombies. What's happening in this song?
Oh, I think you know.
I don't know.
She made me nervous.
Yeah. She took him in. She made him breakfast. And then she said, Colin Hay is 63 years old today. Gary Busey turns 72. If you can do William Shatner, we want to hear your best Shatner impression. Join us in the Kirk Off, won't you? We're all Kirking off here this morning. I want to hear your William Shatner, Allie.
Oh, I bet
just,
you do.
Just after the top
bet
of the hour,
you
we'll hear Allie McKay's William Shatner impression, and then
don't,
we'll hear
don't
yours.
Stick around for that.
1-800-520-1067. We'll be back right after this. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
That song couldn't end fast enough.
At 8:06. Oh, Allie desperately trying to gather some facts for her William Shatner impression. On July 20th, K-Rock will be having an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond, the brand new Star Trek film. We've got passes to give away to that screening, and if you win the passes, you will be qualified to win a trip to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event. They'll be showing it on a big IMAX screen outdoors with the San Diego Symphony Orchestra playing the score of the film as you watch it live. It's going to be quite the event. You will qualify for that trip as well as get a pair of passes to an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond if you can do a William Shatner impression. And my premise before we started the game was that everyone does a William Shatner impression. As proof of that, here's Allie McKay with her Captain Kirk.
Here's my question.
William Shatner, Captain Kirk impression. No questions. Just
questions.
Get to it.
Do they say take it to the bridge or is
they
that
don't
like
say take it to the bridge. That doesn't mean
that's
anything.
That's a song. Is that Curtis Blow? Is that what I'm thinking of?
The bridge is where okay. is where they fly the Enterprise. That's the command center of the Enterprise is the bridge.
So they don't say take it to the bridge. Nailed it.
Okay, now
right?
do your William Shatner impression.
Come on, Ralph.
All right, so maybe Allie won't be winning our Kirk off, but right. this is the game. We're going to ask you to do your best William Shatner as Captain Kirk impression, and we're all going to be Kirking off this morning, okay?
Okay.
I know you want to see Star Trek Beyond an outdoor IMAX. I know you're going to have to do your best William Shatner to go. I hope you don't suck, because then Ralph will tell you you blow. So make it good, make it real, real good. And now it's time to Kirk off. We're all gonna Kirk off. A big circle Kirk off.
Captain's Log, Stardate 106.7. I'm currently inviting all the citizens of planet Kevin and Bean to Kirk off.
All right.
That's amazing.
It's time for our Kirk off.
See how this goes. I have no confidence in this. This is a brand new idea. Kevin and Peter gone. We're goofing around.
I like it.
While they're gone, we're...
What could go wrong?
We're trying to burn this mother down so when they come back, it's just ashes. But we'll give it a shot. Let's go to Brad on line one and hear his best Kirk. Hey, welcome to the Kirk Off, Brad.
Hello?
Hello, sir. You're on, Brad.
Oh, it's me.
All right. Let's hear your best
I want to do a very specific Kirk. It's my favorite and most hilarious Kirk from the Deadly Years when he's aging. And Spock is about to take command because he's too frail to do it. So he looks at Spock and goes, "You're traitorous, disloyal, just stab in the back the first chance you get."
Brad.
Wait, was that it, Brad?
Brad.
That was it. That's what he said.
Brad, I love the episode. I know what you're talking about, and I appreciate the research. But that was poor, sir. I'm sorry.
Oh, Brad.
Sorry, Brad. Sorry. I feel bad because obviously he loved Star Trek. He knows episodes, but I just can't. I just can't.
Oh,
how about Desiree? Let's do Desiree in line two. Desiree, hello? You ready to Kirk off?
I hope so.
All right. Let's hear your best Captain Kirk.
Okay. Spock, I must say, these tribbles are making me calm down. Come on!
We're all gonna Kirk off.
Oh, Desiree.
I don't even know what happened, but I liked it.
You know, Desiree, you're lucky. We have 5 pairs of these to give away.
Oh, good.
We have 5 pairs of tickets to give away to the advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond, and you made me laugh so much, I'm gonna give you a pair, okay?
Thank you.
You're gonna go see the film. Hold on, we're gonna give you all the details, okay? Oh, that was awful, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Jerome. Wish we had Jesse we could go to. First Jesse, then Jerome.
We'll not you too.
Yes. Jerome. Jerome, good morning. Welcome to the Kirk Off.
We're all going to Kirk Off.
All right.
So, going to be doing a different movie. So,
okay.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I kind of lost track myself. So, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do ya?
William Shatner is Dirty Harry. Come on. That shows some initiative right there, some originality. Jerome, you scored points for originality. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see the movie, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you the details. Okay, that's what do we got? That's 2
got
down.
Desiree we got and Jerome.
3 more left. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see what Steven can do. Steven, welcome to the Kirk Off.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy. You ready to Kirk Off?
I'm way ahead of you, man.
Oh. All right, let's hear it.
Go on.
Captain's log, on my way to KROQ, when I stop off at In-N-Out and get a double-double animal style, and animal style fries, chocolate shake. Fuck, anything?
Sorry, Steve. Sorry, man. We love you, but that's, well, nah. No, it's not going to work.
Nothing much.
Let's try Joey from Westchester. I feel bad because people, obviously, they're pouring their hearts out.
Well, but I think Steve was just hungry.
Hello.
Joey, welcome to the Kirk Off, sir.
Hello, sir.
Joey, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, bring us your best Shatner.
All right. Mr. Scott, set shields to full. Mr. Sulu, ahead, full, impulse. Mr. Spock, I need a scan on the enemy vessel.
You sound like Quagmire from Family Guy.
Was that
giggity, giggity, giggity. Mr. Spock, let's set charge of foe.
Sorry, Joey, that's not going to pass muster.
No way!
Come on, he sounds like Quagmire.
I don't care.
Mr. Spock, giggity, giggity, giggity.
All right, let's go to Daniel in Anaheim. Daniel. Gotta
How's
save
it
this.
Going?
Daniel, got to save this bit. We gotta welcome you to the Kirk Off.
We're here. All going to Kirk Off.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to blow everyone away.
All right, let's bring it, Daniel.
Well, when I was captain of the Enterprise, I knew that flying into a planet was just not the way. Spock, please, won't you listen to reason?
You said everyone can do one.
I thought so. I was wrong. Daniel, we're going to pass, but thanks so much. Yes.
No.
Let's go to Josh. Come on. Somebody's got to bring it. Josh. Josh.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight.
No, no, hang up on Josh. No, let's cut it roll.
Was he Elton John again?
Well, because Shatter famously did a version Rocket of Man. Rocket Man.
Oh,
yeah.
I did not know
yeah.
that. Oh,
he was doing that. No, no, Roland, let's go to Roland in Huntington Beach.
Hello.
You ready to kirk off, Roland?
Absolutely.
All right, let's hear it.
Spock, Bones, hurry, join me. We're going down to San Diego for a kirk off. Join me in the circle, Kirk.
Sorry, Roland, it's not going to happen.
This is the harshest concept ever.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's hard. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel in Woodland Hills. Someone's going to get
up,
close.
Bro?
Hey, Daniel, how are you, sir?
Save us.
All right, here goes nothing.
All right, here we go.
Captain Spock, Stardate 596.23, rounded off to the nearest decimal point. We've traveled back in time to save an ancient species from extinction. So far, no luck yet, but I'm going to find him. I've got to, mister.
All right, Daniel. Well, good enough. I like that one. Okay, you're in. We're going to give you tickets, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Hold on, man. Congratulations. That was pretty good. How about Louie in San Gabriel, line 4? Let's talk to Louie. Welcome him to the Kirkoff. Louie?
Hi, who is Louie? This is Captain Kirk, a.k.a. William Shatner, a.k.a. Captain of Starship Enterprise. I'm in search of your leaders, Kevin and Bean. I'm here to commandeer your starship.
Okay, when
Where
do you start?
Are your leaders?
You going to start now?
Wow, Allie's slamming you, Louie.
Oh,
she's crushing you, Louie. I'm sorry. You got to go. Allie crushed you.
I'm sorry, Louie.
Let's go to Tom.
Why would you do that, Louie?
Let's go to Tom in Stanton.
Oh.
Tom,
hey.
Welcome to the Kirkoff, Tom.
Scotty, the shields, they won't hold. Earn your week's pay, man. How about George Talkie? Oh, my.
Oh, I think you saved it.
I think you saved it, Tom. We're going to give you tickets for your Sulu. Your Sulu saved your
All
Kirk.
Right. Hey.
It's not a Sulu cool, off, but we'll cool. give it to you anyway. All right, I got one more pair of tickets to go. Let's try Jeff. Let's try Jeff in Gardena, line 6. Jeff, welcome to the Kirkoff.
Ralph, how are you doing today? I was wondering if you might want to put those tickets in my front pocket.
I don't know who you're doing, but it's the creepiest thing I've heard all morning.
I love it.
Let's pass on Jeff. Let's go to line 7. Zanir, close us out. Zanir.
Come on, Zanir.
Bring it home. We got one more pair of tickets left. Can you do it?
A little suffering is good for the soul.
Yeah, very,
maybe
very
not,
excited.
Maybe not the F word.
Zanir. That was just a Kirkoff. Oh, good. So you're going to stick around for this show for today, at least.
What are you talking about?
Well, obviously you have plans. You're making your plans to abandon ship to get off of this.
Show, and so I have talked about that CBS Radio is up for sale, and that it is possible that soon this station will be Musica Musica Musica. And I don't know how well Kevin and Bean will survive that transition. But other than that, I don't have any plans.
So
to
rather
go
than taking the show and trying to find another home for it, you're just going to like a rat scurrying off a sinking ship. You're just going to go save yourself and just do another show.
What are you talking about?
Sit down.
What's happening?
What are you even talking about? Look, who shows up for work more than anybody on this show,
Kevin,
by the way?
First of all, Kevin.
Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah, I forgot. Kevin's always here, right?
But, what do you know that we don't know?
Well, Allie, you might be interested to know that apparently behind all of our backs, our own Bean Baxter is trying to get the job co-hosting Loveline with Dr.
No,
Drew.
That's not true.
Yes.
That I
not
that's
only
not
is he approached management about co-hosting Loveline with Dr.
Okay.
Drew, but Bean has gone as far as to do an audition.
No.
First of all, that's not true. I
he
didn't
did
do
an
that.
Audition for Loveline. It is true.
Let me just say this.
So I don't have the tape. Yes.
You have
Chad Bryant.
Oh, Bean.
You have. I didn't know you had the tape.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, I have friends in this building who secretly funneled me this tape, and now I have got.
I wasn't
the proof.
Aware that proof. There was evidence to prove that I am actually in fact
proof
lying.
Positive. Here is Bean's audition tape for taking over for Mike Catherwood as the co-host of Loveline.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
It makes sex even better.
You are listening to Loveline with me and Dr. Drew. Oh, Dr. Drew. You sang so perfectly fine the other day with that King's Game. You were absolutely acceptable. Okay, let's take our first caller. We've got a caller on the line. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Drew and Bean. I've got a
problem, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it. I can't control myself. I just like to peep into women's windows and into women's locker rooms.
Oh, no.
And I can't help myself. I just like to look at them.
Why are you bothering us with this call? This seems perfectly fine to me.
Well, the police don't seem to think so. I've been arrested twice, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it.
Well, tell me what kind of things you see when you're peeping like that.
God.
Well, you know, women in locker rooms, you know, walking around in towels, or women in their bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh, daddy likey.
Oh, come on.
I know this is going to sound weird coming from me, but you're a little creepy.
I'm not creepy at all. How could you say that?
Well, you know, takes one to know one.
And first of all, I have never been arrested for peeping. And I don't think I like this call. Oh, we have to move on. Another call. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Drew. Bean. I also have a bit of a problem. I tend to steal women's underwear from the laundromat near my house where I do my laundry. I wait for a woman to put her underwear in a washer, and then I will steal the underwear. And it's a compulsion. I need some help.
What? Once again, I don't see anything wrong with this. Oh. Is there anybody out there with a real problem? Why that?
Well, you could just wish me luck, Ralph. You don't have to be mean about it.
I hadn't heard that till now. I think we're all safe. I think the show's going to stick together.
Let's talk about this story out of Arkansas. This is a guy who made a few errors when he stopped by the McDonald's and ended up behind bars. Let's hear the news report, please.
The manager told police that three people filled up their cups at the soda machine and didn't pay. He says two returned the cups, one didn't. Manager said when he tried to stop them from driving away, they hit him with their car. Police arrested 18-year-old Cody Morris, the driver, and charged him with felony robbery. He'll now go before a judge on Friday.
Felony robbery. He and his friends went through the drive-thru at the McDonald's in Springdale, Arkansas, and asked for cups of water, which I assume are free? Maybe?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah.
Okay. So then they park, and they walk in, and they pour the water out, and they walk over to the self-serve soda machines, and they fill it up with soda.
Son of a bitches.
Which clearly is a violation of the rules at McDonald's. Clearly, they're not giving away free cups of soda. That's not how it works. And it sounds like he would have gotten away with it if he hadn't then tried to run over the manager with his car on the way out the door.
Like, so, going, Scoop! He's trying to drink soda!
So,
he got arrested for stealing what would have been, I don't know, 2 cents worth of soda?
Because those water cups aren't like
they're
the
tiny.
Big gulp size.
Right.
That's a sippy cup.
It's like a Dixie cup, really.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the thing that he got arrested for, putting soda in a water cup charged with robbery. And that got us thinking about a topic we haven't done in a long time, and that is the smallest thing you got arrested for. In other words, you're serving time in the big house. You do not have an impressive story. When they say, what are you in here for? And you say, I left my washing machine out in my front yard.
Yeah.
And that's what they came and arrested me for.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out what kind of a jailbird pass you have, Ralph.
I don't have a jailbird pass, okay? I was detained twice.
All right.
Go on.
One was kind of a legitimate one. It was for impersonating a police officer. That one time, I kind of earned that one. But it wasn't like I was shaking down the liquor store owners for protection money or anything, pretending to be a cop. My buddy was going on a first date with a girl he really liked, and me and a few other friends thought it would be funny. She didn't know who we were, so we thought it would be funny to put one of those bubble lights on top of my friend's Crown Vic and screech up in the parking lot of the theater where they were coming out of the movie they had just gone to, and jump out of the cars with toy guns and shoulder holsters and fake badges and everything.
Oh, no.
And pretend he was wanted and throw him against the car and frisk him and cuff him. We thought that would be a hilarious way to ruin his first date that he was really looking forward to.
It does sound hilarious, by the way. I actually support that.
It was completely hilarious until nobody thought to realize that perhaps also coming out of the theater at the same time might have been an off-duty police officer who saw all this going on and rushed to our aid to ask if we needed any help. And then once he got close to us, he realized there was a bunch of, like, 17-year-old kids with badges and guns and a bubble light on top of their car. And I did have to go down to the precinct to explain myself. And
By the way, my parents
had to come down and pick me up out of the holding cell. That'll happen, maybe.
You put a lot of time and effort into a very clever prank.
It was a very clever prank, and I was also informed that it was very illegal at the time.
Oh, so now you can't pretend to be a police officer and wave around a fake gun.
Oh, they're so uptight.
That's what
Philadelphia PD.
That's what America has come to now. All right, so that was thing one. What was thing two?
Thing two was I was simply strolling around a neighborhood in my underwear. And the police who were in a patrol, they frowned on that. And I think they also frowned on the fact that when I saw them, I took off running and hid under an SUV.
Why were you in your underwear?
Well,
Where were your pants?
Alcohol was involved.
Okay.
And it was a high school party, and someone dared me to walk around the block in just my underwear and shirt.
Very reasonable, by the way.
And not being a coward, I, of course, took that dare, and I strolled around the block in just my my jockey shorts and my shirt. And the police apparently frown on that. They don't want you just walking around the neighborhood just in your underwear. So I saw them, and I saw they saw me, so I took off and hid under an SUV, very obviously, apparently, because very quickly there were flashlights under the SUV saying, son, you want to step out here, please? And then they just, they were very nice about it. They put me in the back of a patrol car and just took me back to the party. I didn't have to do any time for that one. But still, I wasn't naked. It wasn't indecent exposure or anything. I was just wearing small pants, really.
Were they tidy whiteies?
Yes, of course.
So,
but no, what? If I had been
boxers, fine.
If I had been at the beach or something, would that have been a problem? If I was wearing a Speedo? No, nothing was showing. So why is the man hassling me? I can't help it if I'm massive and attention grabbing in my underwear. Can I?
I feel like this was a minor offense.
Oh, how dare you?
All right, let's take a couple of calls, and let's start with Heather in Fullerton. She's up first. She's on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Heather, thank you for calling, my dear. What happened?
Well, I got in trouble for ice blocking.
What is that?
When you get, like, they used to sell the big blocks of ice, and you would take them to a park and slide down a hill on top of the block of ice.
So fun.
And what's the problem with that? Who could have any trouble with that?
Well, I guess we were trespassing after hours in a public park.
Oh, I see. In other words, you were just there when it was closed. It didn't have anything to do with the ice.
I guess not, but our screaming and yelling, like all the neighbors around and stuff like that had called in, and we ended up getting cited for it and had a notice to appear, so we had to go to court.
Oh, no.
And we had a public defender, and we had to enter a plea. Yeah, all for sliding down the hill on the block of ice.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Robert, line 5, please. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? When I was younger, I hit a fire hydrant and left the scene, kind of went up the street to a friend's house. And the DWP was looking at my car. I had yellow paint on my bumper, so it was kind of a dead giveaway. But I just left and didn't talk to them. And the police wound up showing at my house later, and I kind of ran away. They had the helicopter come and get after me.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole deal. I ran up the street. And then they thought I was absolutely insane and sent me to, while it was still operating, Camarillo State Mental Hospital.
Wait a second.
This took a turn that
this
I was
did
not
take a,
expecting.
You were sent to a mental hospital because you hit a fire hydrant and ran away from it.
Yeah. When Camarillo was still operating. It's now.
I feel like there's something else in this story.
Really, Bean? That's your hot take?
My hot take is that there's a lot you're not telling me here. But we're going to leave it there, and thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Nick Huntington Beach, please. He's line 7 up next to the Kevin and Bean Show. Nick, thank you for calling. What'd you get arrested for?
Skateboarding a bunch of times. Yeah.
But I heard that skateboarding is not a crime. Was I misinformed?
That's what we've always stood for, but that's what it feels like when you get a ticket for skateboarding within 20 feet of an open business or destruction of property. But I refused to pay my fine, so I went to jail probably 6 or 7 times growing up for skateboarding.
No kidding. Why was it something that you were willing to go to jail for? Why was it such an important point for you to make?
It turned into a game between a friend and I. We had a, not a bet, but, you know, a personal bet, just who could go to jail the most.
Nick, I feel like maybe different goals. I don't know.
Still skating 25 years.
How about that? You are a guy who is committed. I would just like to make this opportunity to say to the K-Rock advertisers, this is the kind of clientele that you can reach if you buy commercials on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nick, keep doing what you're doing, my friend. Thank you for the call.
Stop it. No. That's not. Mm-mm. No. 8:54 on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean not included.
I feel like the Kirkoff.
Although Bean did check in.
He did.
God bless him. Bean tuned in to listen to his own show that he's on vacation from.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just to hear the Kirkoff.
Yep.
And by all accounts, he was.
He was impressed.
He was pleased with what he heard.
I mean, couldn't he be?
Well, the talent of Ally McKay alone.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
That was not good.
Ally McKay doing her Shatner.
More like a Shat-off than a Kirk-off.
Yours was the Shat-off. We were doing the Kirk-off. But people seem to like it. So maybe we'll do that again sometime this week. It's big fun. Hey, it's summertime. Mm-hmm. So do not forget to pick up your new 2016 K-Rock Summer sticker, which is now available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Go into your local Hot Topic, pick up the K-Rock sticker, and then go to krock.com. Enter the password on the back of the sticker, and you could win K-Rock's Home Invasion with 21 pilots. This is a really cool event. They come to your house, a private gig at your house with 21 pilots if you're the winner, and we'll throw in a 2016 Honda Civic as well.
That's a phenomenal price.
It really is. All for picking up a sticker. So go to Hot Topic, get your new K-Rock 2016 summer sticker. They look pretty cool, too.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yes. Thanks, Mugs. Now we know maybe, we were just talking about Bean. Bean called in last week, if you were listening, just to check in and also to announce that he is moving. Mm-hmm. Seattle. He's offloading all his 13 homes he owns there.
Right.
And he's moving to New Orleans.
Sure.
And now we know why. I think I know why.
Uh-oh.
I just read this story this morning. It makes sense now why Bean may be fleeing Seattle. A man in Seattle, says this news story, was arrested at a grocery store self-checkout register.
Okay.
The man called an employee over. You know, sometimes you're working those self-checkout
things.
Yeah,
they're not easy.
And you got a problem, so you have to hit the help button, and an employee will come over. The man was checking out, called a female employee over to look at the item that he was having a hard time scanning.
Here we go.
It turns out he was scanning one of his body parts. On the screen. He had dropped his body part on that glass scanner there, and he was scanning his merchandise and asked the female employee to come over to look at the item in question.
What is wrong with people?
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
Bean.
He left before police arrived, but then returned to the store.
No.
Look, once you're scanning your unit,
right,
and you've asked the female employee, hey, I can't find the barcode on this thing. Can you help me out?
They're on the lookout for
you. How much is this per pound?
Do you want extra sausage?
Right. If you're asking that of the female the female employee, then you leave the store before the cops arrive.
Yeah.
I'm saying don't go back.
No.
That's my take.
You've done what you went to do, and you achieved it.
Right. So, I got this in the produce section.
I got this eggplant.
You got a SKU number for this? So now we know why Bean is leaving Seattle. He has to. He has to go to New Orleans and start scanning his junk at one of their supermarkets.
Oh,
all right. Entertainment news. Drew Barrymore apparently in talks for her own daytime talk show.
Hmm.
Is that something you'd be interested in?
I love her, and I will probably watch her do anything. I'll
really?
Give it a shot. Yes. I find her so charming.
Charming in her movies.
Yes, but even in interviews, everything I have seen her do, not scripted, when she's talking with people, she's phenomenal.
All right.
She's just got a great little spirit about her.
All right, if you say so.
I do.
She's already the host of NBC's First Dates reality show. Have you heard about this?
Never.
I mean, neither. It may not be on the air yet. I'm assuming it isn't, or else I think I would know about it. It's being produced by Ellen DeGeneres. And so now word is that Drew is working with Ellen's company to develop her own talk show as well. So,
okay.
You know. While we're talking new television, this is bold and gutsy, and I think she's in a lot of trouble. Actress Leah Remini, best known, of course, for her work on King of Queens, is now filming a new TV series about Scientology and its controversial disconnection policy. This is part of Scientology, which demands that all of its members cut off all communication with people outside of the religion who are supposedly negative or outspoken against the church.
Yeah.
They're called suppressive people. SPs.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a husband or a wife or a child.
Kids, yeah.
Anyone else.
Yeah.
So she is filming a new series about this policy. She's been an outspoken critic of the church since she left it in 2013. No word on which network will be running the show, if any. Be pretty bold for anybody to pick it up. And I think bold of her to produce this thing, because they frown on that sort of thing.
Oh,
this church
and by frown.
Not fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't here, Allie, when we had a spokesperson for the church into the studio.
No, I heard about it.
It was very contentious, and Kevin almost called in our security team to take the man out.
Yeah. I think I have it.
Which was hilarious, because we didn't have a security team. So Kevin was bluffing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do we have that
I think
audio?
I have okay. For.
According to founder and science fiction author L. Ron Hubbard.
Nope.
Nope. That's.
It was labeled Scientology expert, so you'd think.
Stephen Colbert right there, but. Yeah.
My bad.
That's okay, Chip.
Kevin kept saying, do I have to call security? Do I have to call security to get you out of here? And we're all in the other room going, we don't have any security. It's going to be us. Do I have to go in with like a fake badge? Yeah.
Well, look at Kevin handling
stuff.
Yeah,
he was on fire. Rest in peace.
We
miss him. Can't believe both those guys went down in the same plane.
Same time.
Who could have believed it?
Oh, it was a plane?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently they were fleeing to Barbados.
Were they?
To cash in their offshore accounts.
To see Rihanna.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gary Busey is 72 years old today. The Buse. You follow Busey on Twitter, by the way?
I don't.
You must.
I don't know if
do
I
do it
need
right
to.
Now.
Are you sure?
Sign up and follow Gary Busey. You'll be entertained. Nicole Scherzinger from Pussycat Dolls is 38. Colin Jost from SNL's Weekend Update is 34 years old today. Adam G. Savani, Moose from the Step Up series, is 24 years old today. Thanks, Dave King of Mexico. And Men at Work singer Colin Hay is 63.
Meet free one day. It's a fun day.
That's
happening.
That's Meet Free Monday by Paul McCartney. I don't believe that's all. There we go. Okay, we've deciphered the lyrics, by the way. Someone sent in the information. It's a fried out combi.
Okay.
And that is an Australian sort of minivan, like a VW bus kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
So that's what that line is.
Okay.
And a head full of zombie, that's a strain of pot in Australia that's popular with the Aussies.
Well, that's why he went in and she made him breakfast.
That's now. He was hungry at the
munchies.
Makes
so much sense.
So now we know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We thought it might be fun to kind of go around the room and everybody gets to pick a fictional band, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Since it was your idea, Ralph, we'll let you go first. Who would you choose as your favorite fictional act?
Out of Erie, PA, part of the Playtone Galaxy of Stars.
Hey, that's not fair. I don't know all this information for my band.
I got to pick The Wonders. The Wonders!
The Wonders.
With what was the smash hit song, That Thing You Do.
But just so hard to do.
Very Monkees-esque.
Beatles, Monkees. Well, the thing takes place in the 60s, so it is they're one-hit wonders, if you will.
Yeah.
But I listen to that soundtrack still to this day. There's a ton of fictional songs on there created by Adam Schlesinger, for the most part, from Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, right, Fountains of Wayne, right, yeah.
And, boy, that's great music. So that's from the Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do.
All right, Bean, you have one?
I have one also from a movie I think we all love from about 10, 12 years ago, the film from Cameron Crowe called Almost Famous, remember?
The
Kate Hudson movie and about the fictional band and the Rolling Stone reporter who covered him. And the band that was created for that movie was a band called Stillwater. And I love them so much. There's three or four songs in the movie, and I think we have a clip of the song from the film called Fever Dog.
Come down again,
All right, Miss Allie McKay, your favorite fictional band, please, from movies or TV. You say what?
I went with a lovely Irish band that they were actually chosen for this movie because they were actually singers and musicians, not actors, which you kind of noticed in the movie because it's not great, but it is a wonderful movie, The Commitments. All you want to do is ride.
Commitments was a great movie, by the way, and they were very believable as a band in that film.
Did I ever tell you my story about parting with the Commitments in Ireland?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I met them.
That's the way to go.
A music festival in Salt Hill near Galway. I was there on vacation, and I went to see their show, and afterwards I wanted to get some photos of the guys afterwards, and they said, why don't you come backstage with us? And I went backstage, and they said, why don't you come pubbing with us? And they put me on the tour bus, and we all went off, and we partied all night long. Yeah.
All right, my favorite fictional band is Timmy! And the Lords of the Underworld. Lords of the Underworld. Darkness fills my heart with pain. Ah! And when girls start to sleep with girls, the evil of my rise again.
Timmy from South Park. That's so awesome. If you're just joining us, Ralph got us involved in a conversation about the best fictional bands created for television and movies. And there are a lot of them. We've all just given you our favorites. And we thought we'd get some from you. And why don't we start with our man Nick? He's in South Pasadena. He's on line 7 to get us going on this segment.
Hey, Nick.
I'm going to go with something that maybe none of you have heard of. There's a little movie, 1948, called A Song Is Born, starring Danny Kaye and Virginia Mayo. Okay, despite the fact... No, just listen. Hold me out. Just hold out.
I'll hold
listen
you out.
Listen to this. So Danny Kaye is a music professor, okay? And he's one of the all-time great song and dance comedic actors. He's really incredible.
Oh, no.
And
the other line's ringing.
In this movie, there's...
Oh, I feel like there's other people on hold with stuff we've heard of.
Come on.
Listen.
Kevin, it's Danny Kaye.
Look. I love Danny Kaye as much as the next guy.
You love him more than the next guy.
Right.
But what about Spinal Tap, you guys? What about Spinal Tap, you guys? While we're talking about among the great fictional bands of all time. Let me have a little Spinal Tap. Stonehenge, where the man and the children
dance to the pipes of Pan. Right?
I want to go back to the last call.
Do you think part of the problem may be that the Stonehenge monument was in danger of being crushed by dwarves?
Not only one of the great fictional bands of all time, one of the best movies of all time.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Hey.
Tom, what do you got?
How about a fictional band that Kevin and Bean have actually interviewed themselves?
Steel Dragon. Hey. Yeah, that was not a great movie. We were in that with Mark Wahlberg and with Jennifer Aniston and, of course, with the band there, Steel Dragon. Give me a little Saved by the Bell, Chip. Pull that up. Raul writes in and says, hey, guys, when you're talking about fictional bands, you can't forget the Zach Attack. Remember from Saved by the Bell with their hit Friends Forever? Let's hear some of that.
How has no one said the Cantina Band?
I wish what I saw was this cool.
Star Wars Cantina Band.
But they're real, right? They're real.
That's a real band.
That's a real band.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Hey, I heard, speaking of fictional bands, tell me if this is true, Allie, since you're our Star Wars source of information, that the Cantina Band scene in A Force Awakens, the guy who did the music for that is Lin-Manuel from the Hamilton musical.
Really?
That's true. True dat.
Wow.
That is true.
He wrote that song, yes.
It's fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Hey, who do you?
Who do you, Andrew?
All right, I got two that I listen to all the time. First we got Infant Sorrow from Get Him to the Greek, and then we got Dewey Cox.
Dewey Cox.
Dewey Cox.
One of my favorites from Walk Hard. Let's do it in ways that make us feel good. Let's do it. Let's do it. Same thing. Boney.
I want to see that movie again. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you for
appreciate that.
Ralph. Good. Cuts him in half.
Here's Omar writing in saying, guys, I think they were created just for TV. What about the Blues Brothers.
Yep, created for SNL.
Weren't they? Isn't that true? They were a sketch on Saturday Night Live that then recorded an album and ended up going on tour. I think they ended up having three albums before it was all over and sold millions of records. Do we have any Blues Brothers today?
Chip was quietly angry because that was her band.
Oh, so good.
Let's go to line two. Let's talk to Chris in Covina. He's got a good one, too.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Best fictional band.
My best fictional band was, it was a 70s and 80s cartoon. It was called the Groovy Ghoulies.
Yes, I love the Groovy Ghoulies.
Got it right here.
Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it? Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom.
It was like Dracula and Frankenstein monster and Wolfman.
Yep, it
that's
was
right.
All
that's exactly right.
The Mummy. Yeah, that was part of that Archie world where every cartoon that made by those people had to have some sort of band and music in it.
Is that right?
And Archie's did it, and then Josie and the Pussycats, and the Groovy Ghoulies. Good call.
I do feel like, thanks to Chris's call, that we're all going to have that song stuck in our head for the rest of the day. But thanks
awesome,
for calling.
I hope so.
You're welcome.
You know, I know we still got a lot of ground between now and the election, Kevin, and I was thinking I was going to vote for Bernie Sanders for president. But now that I found another candidate who's really dialed in on my issue, I think I may have to instead throw my support behind Governor Kasich from Ohio.
And your issue is?
My issue is it's about time people started using knives and forks like civilized humans to eat their food rather than just picking it up with their hands and mashing it into their open maws. That's
like
my issue.
Like spaghetti, you mean?
No, I'm talking about in this case like pizza because
nope.
Governor Kasich apparently is in hot water with some people who disapprove of him at a pizzeria in New York the other day eating pizza with a knife and fork the way God intended.
That's nonsense.
By the way, he was questioned on it and he said, I was eating pizza before that reporter was even born. So boom.
How is that a response?
That just means he's been bad longer.
There's nothing bad about it because you know who's not walking out of there with pizza all over his face and his shirt?
Everyone.
Because they use napkins,
people have
idiots.
Learned how to eat. You can eat pizza.
But it's neater to eat it with a knife and fork. Anyway, I think the clip we have might be him on Good Morning America, maybe talking about the incident.
The Ohio governor is in New York today where he defended eating pizza with a fork and a knife at Gino's Pizzeria in Queens.
The pizza came scalding hot, okay? And so I use a little fork. You know what my wife, who's on a spring break with my daughters, you know what she said? I'm proud of you. You finally learned how to use a utensil properly.
See, the people who aren't using knives and forks are the people who just haven't learned how to use silverware yet. I'm with John Kasich on
this
one.
That's just absurd.
Well, we wanted to
What a terrible spring break. Your mom goes with you.
That sucks. We wanted to get an opinion from somebody in the industry, so we have a spokesperson for the American Association of Pizza Makers on the phone, and I'm sure he'll tell us that it's fine to eat a pizza however you want. It's going to be Dominic Giordano, who joins us on K-Rock now. Hi, Dominic. How are you?
Hey, what's the matter, you?
Well,
let me ask you one thing.
Yes.
Why are you such a stupid head?
Oh, now why would you say something like that? I would think that as long as people are eating pizza, your job is done.
No pizza for you. You don't get no pizza.
Oh. No pizza for me.
Don't you? I don't want to see you even a look at a pizza. You are dead to me when it comes to a pizza.
So people that eat pizza with a knife and a fork.
They are the worst people in the world.
Agreed.
What?
They are the people of Satan is what they are.
That's correct.
Satan's minions who eat a good old-fashioned, delicious pizza with a knife and a fork, they should be, first of all, their testicles should be tied to some sort of transportation, and then they should be dragged over a bed of a broken glass, and then dunked in a lemon juice.
That just seems that's harsh for a guy who's just eating food with a fork. I mean, really?
That's too good for you.
Now, why do you feel so strongly about that? I mean, again, the deliciousness of the pizza is what I'm all about, and I'm just trying to eat it in a neat way where I don't get my hands all greasy. What's wrong with that? Dominic?
Even you say it, make it sound so stupid.
It just sounds so dumb.
Hey, need a guy. Hey, Mr. Knife and Fork. Hey, Johnny Knife and Fork, I call you. Hey, Johnny Knife and Fork. Do you eat a donut with a knife and fork?
Great question. I don't really eat donuts.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. What's that?
I don't really eat donuts, but I guess it would depend on how messy it was going to be.
Listen, Dr. Steven Asshole, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Do you eat a cookie with a knife and a fork?
No, I'll pick up a cookie.
Pick up a cookie, pick up my pizza. What, my pizza not good enough for you? My pizza clean for you? Get all over your hands. Oh, Oreo, I rub it all over my body, but pizza I won't touch with my hands.
No, because it's got the grease and it's got the cheese and it's got the sauce. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go south if I mishandle that.
Mishandle it?
How much can go wrong?
Hey, it's not a nuclear waste, okay? You don't need a hazmat suit and a pair of tongs to pick it up. You just take a slice of pie. You take a bite off at a pointy end. Maybe you don't know how it works. Maybe you take it, try to put it flat against your face and suck the cheese and sauce off the flat part. Here's a little tip for you. Get the pointy end. It's tailor-made for your mouth. It's tapered for your mouth to open up and have a nice bite of pizza pie.
Mr. Giordano, forget about me for a moment.
Forget about you. You are going to haunt my dreams for the rest of my life.
Do you think that Americans should not vote for John Kasich for president because he eats pizza with a knife and fork?
Not only should they not have voted for him, because he is everything that is wrong with the world, but they should build a wall around him and make him pay for it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, 9:41 a.m. on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM. Very fun show today. Thanks for everybody who tuned in and listened. Especially, I got to give it up for my man Beer Mug. Props to him for his theme song for our game that we played today, called The Kirk Off, where we had people do William Shatner impressions. Can we have a little Kirk Off theme?
We're all going to Kirk Off.
Come on.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Chip. Thank you, guys.
So good, Muggsy.
The Kirk Off.
I don't get praises from Ralph very much.
Well, you don't do very good work. Well, very
usually.
So
your batting average is about zero.
So when it does arise, I do like to give credit where it's due.
Thank you.
With that in mind, why are you in here? You're bothering me.
I want to tell the K-Rock audience what I'll be doing today.
Do it as Johnny Chicago.
All right, I'm going to tell the K-Rock audience what I'm going to be doing today. No, let's not do that. I'm going to be at the Hot Topic at Plaza West Covina, and the address is 268 Plaza Drive in West Covina, at the Hot Topic in the mall there. You know what's great about that?
Hot Topic.
There's a food court in that mall.
Really?
Yes. And there used to be a Clifton's in that mall, too, but they took it away. But that's beside the point.
Tell us more about things that aren't in the mall you're going to be at today.
Mall historian.
Well, anyway, I'm going to be at the Hot Topic. Of course, we're giving away the new K-Rock summer sticker.
Sure. And you talk into the mic, right?
Hello? Why I needed headphones, Chip.
All right.
Anyway, so we'll be at the Hot Topic giving away Hot Topic gift cards, the new summer sticker where you can enter to win a brand spanking new Honda Civic.
Yes, and have 21 pilots play at your house.
Yes, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry.
And, we'll have Hot Topic gift cards, tons of concert tickets, T-shirts, and we'll be there from 1 to 3 at the Plaza West Covina. That's today from 1 to 3. 268 Plaza Drive in West Covina.
So if you always wanted to see what Beer Mug looks like in person, especially with his new haircut, with his Green Mile haircut, his
haircut tour,
his ready for the electric chair haircut.
It's rocking.
Here's your chance to see him.
I don't think it's that bad.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
From 1 to 3 today at the Plaza West Covina at the Hot Topic there. Go out and see him and get the new K-Rock sticker. And when you see him, dead man walking, just say that and he'll know you came from us.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Mugs. All right, let's take a look at the last showbiz beat of the day. Morgan Spurlock. You know him.
Super Size Me.
That was probably his big breakthrough documentary he did about eating McDonald's every day for a month, I want to say. Is that right?
I felt like it might have been longer.
Anyway.
But it was gross.
He's a great documentarian. Now he's working on a new movie about Hollywood super agent Sue Mengers. You may not know that name, but she was the super agent in the 70s of all the biggest stars in Hollywood. Whether they were writers or directors or actors or singers, she represented all the biggest names in the 70s. She was the woman who ran Hollywood and he's going to be making a documentary about her. Fascinating life. Died at the age of 79 in 2011, but I'm sure he'll be interviewing all of her big clients. Like, famously, Barbara Streisand was one of her clients in the 70s.
Wow.
And in the late 60s, after the Manson family murders took place, mm-hmm. Barbara Streisand was very nervous and concerned and felt threatened because she was worried that the Manson family was going to start taking out actors and directors, because that's, you know, who they targeted was
right.
Roman Polanski and his wife Sharon Tate.
Sure.
Sue Mengers famously reassured her by saying, "Don't worry, honey. Stars aren't being murdered. Only the aren't being murdered. Only the featured players." So it was like lesser known actors at the time, not the big stars. So.
Yikes.
She was a good deal. Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston are still dating in front of the cameras, at least. Boy, it seems like their relationship is really well documented for something being so soon, so early on. Calvin Harris, according to TMZ, thinks that maybe Taylor is angling for a movie career by choosing Tom Hiddleston as her latest boyfriend. Rumors are swirling that Tom could be cast as the next 007, so he is speculating perhaps she wants to be a Bond girl? Or, more importantly, a Bond villain. Wouldn't she be a great Bond villain? Sitting there stroking a white cat.
Dance, oh, my God. Kind of dancing.
Oh, my God, Mr. Bond, I can't believe we meet again. Can't believe you figured out my plans. I'm so surprised that you're here, Mr. Bond. And shoots her right in the head. The audience goes crazy.
Standing O from Ralph.
Yeah.
Oh.
Calvin Harris apparently is also got his nose out of joint because she has already met Tom Hiddleston's parents. Met his mom in England. They flew there to meet her. Calvin Harris, also from the UK, said that Taylor Swift always refused to go to visit his parents across the pond because she insisted it was too far away to travel.
She's a bitch.
So for movie star Tom Hiddleston, not too far. For paltry, piddling DJ Calvin Harris, too far to travel.
This is all weird.
Something's going to shake out of this. We're going to find out it's a big hoax.
Yeah, just a PR stunt for both of them.
Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. Ladies seem to like him.
Mm-hmm. He looks like Edgar Wright, but not as much directing.
But curlier.
Good description. That's,
thank you.
Boy,
people are now Googling Edgar Wright. Like, what? What is she talking about?
Kit Harington, he of the curly hair, of course. He's good looking, but not too good looking. Mm-hmm. Sort of manly.
Yeah.
He tells W Magazine that just before his audition for the role of Jon Snow, he fought a man in a McDonald's because the guy said something nasty to his girlfriend. Got into a fight at McDonald's. He's also man enough to admit that he got his ass kicked and had to audition for the role of Jon Snow with a black eye the next day. He says he thinks the black eye actually worked in his favor and helped him land the part, so. There's proof that chivalry is not dead, and if you want good things to happen, fight people in McDonald's.
Yeah.
That's the moral of the story. Yeah. Just fight people, especially in McDonald's. Miss Teen USA made a startling announcement today. They will no longer have the swimsuit portion of their competition. No more swimsuits.
Why?
Because, Allie, it's not about parading beautiful women across a stage in bikinis.
No.
Why?
This beauty pageant is about feminism and equality.
Okay.
Why?
So I guess they'll be having larger-sized women, too, in
the
competition.
Nope,
and they'll
that's
have
crazy.
Less attractive women, perhaps women with some sort of deformities or handicaps. I'm sure they'll be well-represented. But stop pretending.
Yeah.
Teen USA pageant. Stop pretending we want to hear their answers to how would you stop famine in Africa, Miss Kentucky?
I don't know. I am against it.
I believe that all the food that people are not eating should be eaten by the people who have no food to be having eaten. Thank you. And they walk off the stage, yes. Look, it's a beauty pageant. Yes, we want to see hot girls in bikinis, or else there's no reason for it. Just do away with it. Such as also maps. Do we have that girl? Remember her?
I loved
who
her.
Was she? Miss? She was Miss Teen South Carolina or something, wasn't she?
Here it is.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Yeah.
If Kevin was a judge, he'd be like, 10!
Listen.
Perfect sense.
Here's the thing, Miss Teen USA. No more questions. Make them nude. Take off the bikinis.
Wait, I don't.
Let's go that direction and less with the talking part of the pageant.
They're teens.
Are they over 18?
No.
They're not?
No, they're like 14, 15, 16.
Okay, then pasties. Then put them in pasties and like a merkin. And a merkin.
Don't Google merkin, kids.
But what I'm saying is...
Not cool.
Right?
Less of the talking portion of the pageant.
Okay.
More of the TNA portion of the pageant. That's what I'm saying. Because what's more offensive? A girl in a bikini who looks great or that answer?
All of it, really.
Yeah, but really, that answer is what I was looking for, Allie. So please say that answer.
That answer.
Thank you so much. Right. Once again, we can all agree that I'm right in this particular case.
More naked teens. You heard it here first.
I thought they were all 18. No. I apologize.
Not so much.
I had no idea. Please, let's edit that out of the broadcast when this finally goes on the air, okay? Hey, listen, Star Trek fans. How about Star Trek in concert at the Hollywood Bowl? It's really cool. It's going to be Star Trek, the 2009 J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, live in HD on the Hollywood Bowl's big screen, and the score will be performed live by the L.A. Philharmonic Orchestra. This is an amazing opportunity to see a really cool movie in a great way. Go to HollywoodBowl.com if you want tickets or more information, or if you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Caller number 8. Right now, gets a 4-pack of tickets to go see Star Trek in concert at the Hollywood Bowl on July 8th. Caller number 8. Thanks so much. Today's celebrity birthdays, Gary Busey, 72. Colin Hay of Men at Work is 63. Nicole Scherzinger from Pussycat Dolls turns 38. Colin Jost from SNL is 34 years old. And don't forget, today at 5 o'clock, we have commercial-free music for you here on K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the Southern California Helpful Honda Dealers. And they're helping us all today with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. Thanks to them. Tomorrow morning, it's the Kevin and Bean Show once again. Come on back and join us, won't you? Bye.